a sport that is, I'm not sure if underappreciated or undervalued or like taken for granted almost of like yeah. really the amount of skill. Have you had that experience? Like when you tell people that you're like.
Every day it happens. Like I always hear, oh, that's not a real sport. Oh, I could do that. And it's like, I've been training for almost 8-9 years and I still have bad days shooting. And people who have like even just like regular experience with guns and shooting, they're like, oh, that seems so easy. Like I can shoot stuff in my backyard. And I'm like, I promise, it is not that easy.
Hi, and welcome back to our Sports Spotlight series, where athletes from our community come on to educate us on the basic rules of the sports that they play. Make sure you check out the entire series. And if you're new here, this is just a little bonus series between season 1 and 2. So please catch up on some great episodes from season 1 as well. Our season 2 of our podcast is currently filming, and make sure you follow us at Instagram at morethanmystats to stay up to date on future episodes. Let's get into it. Hi, my name is Emily Zaslowski, and I was a volleyball player at the University of North Carolina, and I'm the host of More Than My Stats podcast. During the Tokyo Olympics, I'm asking current and former athletes in our community to answer some of the questions fans have when they watch their sport. My goal is to increase understanding and engagement and really encourage the community to support sports they may not have watched otherwise. So our first two parts have already live, where we learned more about judo and golf. So if you haven't listened to those yet, go back and check those out. But this episode, I am really excited for because it's another one that I personally don't know much about. So I'm really looking forward to learning more. It is shooting. So shooting is going on right now in the Olympics, and we have a current collegiate rifle shooter joining us today. Listening to this episode will be perfect for getting you ready to dive right in to an ongoing Olympic sport. So today I have Rachel joining us. Thank you so much for coming on, Rachel, and agreeing to talk more about this sport that a lot of people don't even realize is options really growing up, at least in the U.S.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's really just a very different sport. A lot of people don't know it exists or don't know anything about it really. So it's a great opportunity to really learn about it.
Yeah. And like I said, I think it's part of the thing that unfortunately being like an elite athlete, you spend so much time in learning all the intricacies of your own sport that it can be like overwhelming to really get involved in another sport. So with the conversation I had in judo, I said, like, honestly, I don't really know what's going on. So that's one of the ones, like if it was on, I might flip the channel. So I'm really excited that like, I'm making a pledge to like, not give sports a shot, but like to educate myself and to, I mean, I guess basically just like leave it on and give me the opportunity to, and not use my lack of understanding as an excuse anymore. So thanks so much for coming on and talking about this. So I guess just to start, can you explain what shooting at an Olympic sport even looks like and just touch on the different categories within shooting?
Sure. So we have two different disciplines that we shoot in, which is like two different rifles. The first one is we do a small bore and a shot with a 22 caliber rifle, and we do three different positions in it. So we'll do 20 shots in the kneeling position, 20 shots in prone, and 20 shots in standing. And all of those record shots combine into a 60-shot series worth 600 points. And then we do air rifle following that, where we only shoot in a standing position, and we do 60 shots all for it. So again, it's another 600-point opportunity. So, but that's really like how every match is run. But it's really just the two disciplines, and we just fire those.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense. So I'm just going to like paraphrase in how I'm understanding it. And please though, correct me if I'm missing something. So there's three different positions on one, just standing on the other. And then you get a set number of bullets that I know you didn't use that term, but the version I can understand is, so everyone gets a set number of bullets. So everyone gets the same number of opportunities to shoot, and you're trying to get as close, and you get points based on how close you are, kind of like darts or something.
Yeah. Before each position starts, you get a sighting period, which is usually like 10 to 15 minutes. You can shoot as many rounds as you want just to get yourself centered. But we get an hour and like 15 minutes to fire all three positions. So it's like a block period of time. But once that sighting period is over, you only have that amount of time to shoot your 20 shots. So if you don't like a shot, you don't get a do-over. But you just move into the next one, do another 20, and it's just the same thing. But,
so I'm assuming people have like their different favorite positions as well. So one they may be more comfortable in and they may go a little faster, and other athletes would then take maybe longer on ones they feel like they need to focus more on. Is that accurate as well?
Yeah. And that's why like they do the block period time, because it gives you so much time to focus on one that you're not as strong in, or one that you really need like more adjustments in, because we make adjustments for each position with our gun, with our equipment, everything. So it gives you a lot of time to even rest in between.
Okay. And then the other term that I've already heard that I want to ask you what more is 22 caliber. So I know very limited because I used to date someone who hunted, but can you tell a little more on what a caliber means for someone who doesn't know?
It's just really the size of the bullet that's fired. It's just average, tiny little bullet. We only use that for small bore, but for air rifle, it's a 117 caliber. But it's a pellet. It's just like almost like a BB. But
so is it smaller than like the circumference? Is it smaller than like a dime?
Yes.
Small. Like, is it like half the size of a dime? Oh no, it's okay. About half the size of a dime though.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, cool. That just as a general reference helps me. And I want to add a disclosure as well, because Rachel told me going in, rifle is the sport that she focuses on as kind of like a subcategory, if I get it right, of shooting. So on today's, we are talking about rifle pretty much exclusively. Can you mention, I don't remember which other ones you said, are the other categories that people do other than rifle that still fall under the shooting category?
Yeah, for like Olympic events, there is women and men skeet. It's separated by gender. There are two different events, but there's also pistol, there's trap, rifle. I believe that's everything. I might be missing one.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But I just wanted to, when people are listening, if they see skeet shooting or whatever, they may see that this is different than what we talked about. And so like if what you hear today, we're talking about rifle. So can you explain how the scoring, can you break down into a little more detail how the scoring works for rifle?
Sure. So for each target, there's 10 bowls that we do, and each bowl is worth 10 points. So the very, very center, which is a tiny little dot, it's the size of a pencil tip. It's worth 10 points. And each ring outside of it is 1 point less. So each target is worth 100 points. So you just kind of go off of that. So that's where the 600 comes from, for each shot being worth 10. But we just combine that at the end. But yes, it's small bore is shot from 50 feet away, while air rifle is 10 meters. It's roughly 33 feet, but it's a very, very small target to hit.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to do my same thing. I was going to ask you. So it was like the bullseye, I was going to assume like the size of a dime, but you're saying like, no, that's going to be like four rings out. Is it dime? Like we're talking such precision here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, So again, this is kind of, we're just sticking to the basics here of someone who may not know it. So as someone who competes in the sport, like I have different reasons that I love volleyball. Can you say like why it's such a compelling sport for you? Like why you enjoy it so much, and why spectators who are already kind of like, oh, this is a cool sport, like once they give it a chance, what have you found that like why people enjoy watching it so much?
Well, I personally love it so much because no matter where you shoot it, it's the same target every single time for every single shot. But whether you're at your local club or you're in the Olympics, it's the exact same. But every time it's a different score, it's a different outcome. No shot is the same ever. But I think that's one thing that's really big on it. No matter what competition or who you're against, it's just yourself that you're really competing against. Because you want to replicate each shot the same way every single time, but you have to trust yourself and your instinct and your training to be able to do that.
It's like the very much pressure, like you know, games on the line, like the focus, like, because I think different sports have so many different moments. Almost every sport has that moment of like, whether for volleyball, it's like when you're on the service line and all the pressure is on you, on like, it's all in your control, to like, you know, baseball or softball when you're the batter that's up and it's like all eyes on you. But it's like crazy that it's like literally each one is in your control basically. And then like, if something goes wrong, it's just like you said, there's no do-over. So it's how well can you bounce back, like the mental, like as much as it's like obviously extremely technical for how small it is, the amount of mental, I think, strength it takes, sounds like phenomenal. Would you say that, like, I guess in your opinion, how big is the mental strength component of this sport?
It is huge. Like they say, like, it is 90% mental, 10% physical, and so much of it is physical. But that just shows like how much more of it is a mental game, because you're literally competing against yourself and trying not to second guess yourself, trying to encourage yourself. And like I always say, like the first shot and the last shot are the hardest, because the first one, if you shoot a bad shot, then that throws off your mental game. And then if you have a really good score on your, like, you're going to have a really good score and you're on your last shot, you're like, oh my gosh, this has to be a good shot. I can't ruin it on this one. So it really is like constant having to be positive the whole time you're shooting.
Yeah, I can totally see that. But I think it's it sounds just like the amount of pressure. Like I think it's one of the sports, and again, correct me, I'm not trying to put my own biases here, that I think it's a lot of underappreciation and might get written off. You know, like that they're like, oh, like so to be clear, I do not believe this, but like that it's not a real sport because you're not seeing people like run and jump. And I just want to like argue people's like thing of like, when you think that way, like, and I know, like, for example, my sister was a cheerleader, and like, okay, my sister was a cheerleader. I was a collegiate volleyball player. She just did high school and some competitive, but like, I mean, she could do a backhand spring tuck. And I'm like, how are people going to say that, like, just because what they see a glimpse of, I think it really is undermined. A sport that is, I'm not sure if underappreciated or undervalued or like taken for granted almost, of like really the amount of skill. Have you had that experience? Like when you tell people that you're like.
Every day it happens. Like I always hear, oh, that's not a real sport. Oh, I could do that. And it's like, I've been training for almost 8-9 years and I still have bad days shooting. And people who have like even just like regular experience with guns and shooting, like, oh, that seems so easy. Like, I can shoot stuff in my backyard. And I'm like, I promise, it is not that easy. It is very difficult. But
yeah. So my limited knowledge is I'm in Dallas, Texas right now. And for my husband's, his firm, like he's at his firm event, they went to this almost like skeet shooting clay pigeons with shotgun type things. And I like gave it a try. And I was like, and I hit like two of them. And I was like, one, it was hard. It hurt my body, like the strength to even just like hold. So again, a different type of gun, but then it's also a shotgun. So there's like hundreds of pellets that are going everywhere that like was hitting something that like wasn't that far away. So I think a lot of people like have this like, or, you know, people who hunt, like, okay, your target is a giant moose. Like that has nothing to do. And you still miss, like your target has nothing to do with that. So sorry, that was just kind of a tangent, but I just wanted to speak of that because I think it's really important that like people realize that their passion and their skills, like while some are transferable as athletes, I think it's really safe to say that this is a sport that not many athletes would have many transferable skills on. And that just takes, like you said, years and years and years of practice to really understand. Now, so I am pledging to watch all the Olympic sports this year. I have like my calendar set. And what, so if I'm watching rifle shooting, what are some of the terminology that I may hear an announcer say that I should expect to hear and I should know to kind of better have a better watching experience?
Honestly, there isn't really a lot of terminology I can think of that most people wouldn't know. I think just because it's so second nature to me that I don't really know what the average person wouldn't know. But I really don't think I have any.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I've been asking you questions when the terminology comes up. So my question on terminology is honestly, so like the different guns that I just have a basic understanding of it. So you are shooting with a rifle. is everyone's rifles this, like, is it standard? You have a standard size and length, and based on your weight or height, or like it's regulation, so everyone kind of has to fit to the same.
It's kind of both. There are regulations that we have to, we kind of have to follow. Like, we can't have it weigh too much. It can't be too light. It can't be too long. But everyone's is still different. Like, everyone's barrel is a little bit longer. Like, I even have mine extended. Like, 30, my, all together, it's like 33 inches, I think. And that's pretty long for most guns. But the rifles are super, super adjustable. Like, you want to build it to your body. You don't want to build your body to it, if that makes sense. But they're built to change completely. But yeah, everyone's is just a little bit different. People add weights and take stuff off, and they're all completely different. Like, if, like, I'm left-handed, but if someone else had me shoot their rifle, it would be a complete different thing.
Okay, yeah. So I guess that's one thing that, again, sometimes I watched previous ones. I actually haven't even gone back and watched that. So there's different types of guns. So you said there's three different types of stances. You went through that already. Are there different, or is there a pretty standard, almost like, if swimming has, there is a technical best way or optimal way to do strokes. Is there the same way that people stand, or like skateboard, like, you know, goofy footed, or what will you hear different strategy there?
Yeah, everyone builds their position pretty much the same. There's like a standard way, really, of doing it. Like, the NRA, like, they kind of build a position, and like that's how a lot of people are taught, or through NRA basic safety training. So they kind of learn it that way. There aren't many variations except for a kneeling. We use a kneeling roll. It's just like a big bag of like padding that we lay under while we're shooting. Be a little bit more comfortable, really. Some people shoot without it. Some people just shoot in, like, depending on how their body is built, they shoot with their legs positioned differently. But altogether, it's basically the same, because just building it a certain way makes you more stable to have a better shot.
That makes sense. Okay, so I love this. So when I'm watching, I like to, like, especially if I don't really know what I'm looking for in terms of technique of, like, when I watch, like, really any sport that has any technical component, I don't know. And like, I wouldn't expect someone to really understand, like, volleyball, what makes a good arm swing or what makes a good serve and things like that. But I do think it's cool, like, because I can pick up and try to notice then differences in how people's stance are or their guns, and try to see like small differences like that, and just to try to learn that way. While I watch, so I have some favorite volleyball players. So I'm asking everyone who comes on the series if they have a favorite event that they're like, hey, make sure you watch this event, or hey, this athlete, whether it's US or not, I'm really looking forward to seeing compete, and see if like there's a reason you have a favorite event or a favorite athlete, just because like I love to root for someone. And unfortunately, I just like, besides obviously just rooting for USA, I just love kind of like having a story behind an event or knowing why someone inspire someone. So do you have an athlete or event that you can tell us about to look for?
Well, my favorite too to watch would be the air rifle and the three-piece small bore event, just because that's what I do and that's what I know most. But the one athlete I've been looking forward to watch is Mary Tucker. She shoots for the University of Kentucky, and she has phenomenal scores that, like, I can hardly believe. It's just that crazy. But she's qualified for three different events. She did the 10-meter air rifle event, and then she did the mixed 10-meter event, which is like a male and a female compete. They shoot 30 shots each, and then they kind of combine their score. And that's actually the first time they've ever done that in the Olympics. This is the first year for it. But then she also qualified for small bore, so she'll be doing that this Saturday. But she medaled silver with her teammates, I think it was 2 days ago or yesterday morning, and she unfortunately didn't medal for air rifle, but she finished sixth overall. But she's currently ranked second in the world. She just won our national or NCAA championship and the World Cup, the Junior Olympics in Colorado. So she's just been rocking it the past couple months, but she's a phenomenal shooter. And actually got to shoot against her in a final a couple years ago. So it's kind of just like that kind of like small connection to having an athlete that you really like to watch. But yeah, I'm really excited to see her on Saturday.
I love that. I think that's one of the things that this sports series is going to bring more awareness to. It's like, yes, these are elite athletes, but like the community in all these sports, like not just internationally, which I'm sure when there's like international tournaments, you get to meet people and build bonds. But like when you have, because are they in your conference?
No, there's two different three conferences really. For rifle, there's the GARC, which is Great American Rifle Conference. That's where most of the schools are in. And then, like, I'm in the Ohio Valley Conference. But there's only 25 teams in the whole NCAA. So there's not really a lot of schools we can compete against, but we usually just stay within our conference. But that consists of us, Moorhead, which is also in Kentucky, Murray State, that's in Kentucky too, and Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
So it's just
the community is just going to be like, I'm sure like that you're seeing the same people at different tournaments, like how you probably compete against similar people. And I think it's so cool because like, as you see, like obviously this person is winning the NCAAs, yet you're still like, this is awesome and I'm rooting for him. Like, I think people try to pit women against each other too much. And even in athletics, it's like, no, we can all just rise and like, we can all bring awareness to the sport. We can all do well. Like just because your scores are better than mine on a given day doesn't mean I'm not rooting for you on other things. So, and it was Mary Tucker. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mary Tucker I'll bring out my little poster for Mary. And can you, I'm asking everyone as well, a Saturday, if you don't mind, since you know when it is too, can you like tag me if you see something on your Instagram that talks about Mary or shooting in general, and then I can share it with our community as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Okay. Well, Rachel, that is all I had for you. We may be, which I like some fun. So two people actually reached out saying that they would be happy to talk about rifle shooting, who you actually like kind of knew through the grapevine as well. So this is kind of like part one. I might get into more detail, more intricate detail, but I think this is the perfect place for, you know, like the basics or someone who's just stepping in and wants to watch it. So thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Bye, Rachel.
Okay, bye. Thank you.